Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this snowy Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everyone is being careful out there discussing the Titans and all things NFL right now. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Joel Corey, former NFL agent now with CBS Sports to the program. Joel, appreciate you taking time to join us today.
Thanks for having me.
So, Joel, obviously J.J. Watt now out there and available, a free agent from Houston. Him and the Texans part ways after he has been the franchise player there for so long. And the Titans have been linked to that. There's a lot of lists talking about, you know, the Titans need pass rushers, and J.J. Watt has some familiarity with Mike Vrabel. Number one, what do you think J.J. Watt has left in the tank, and what do you think his value is out there on the open market?
Well, I don't think Tennessee's a great fit for him, even though the familiarity for the defense, just because at this point you don't want him being the anchor of the defensive line. To me, Cleveland makes more sense, or either Green Bay, because you got Za'Darius Smith in Green Bay, and you've got Myles Garrett, who's going to command a lot of attention in Cleveland. Now, in terms of contractually, J.J. was supposed to make $17.5 million this year had he stayed in Houston. I don't think the deal he signs will average that much. I'd look it to a deal that was signed last year by a guy who's 31 years old, Jason Pierre-Paul. $25 million over 2 years, maxes $27 with incentives. So that may be more of the range. Obviously, that could change if you have multiple teams pursuing you. And then Tom Condon, J.J. Watt's agent, who is based in Nashville, could leverage the teams against each other for more money. J.J. also is going to eliminate teams which are in the Houston position, which don't have a chance to win, so that could narrow his market as well.
So it sounds, Joel, like, you know, certainly he's going to be well into eight figures a year, whatever the term of the deal is in your mind.
Yeah, I think he's still going to be an eight-figure guy.
Do you think
plus,
that he's
– he doesn't have a ton of cap room as it is right now. Obviously, you can create it, but right now, and that's the problem for a lot of teams, everyone's in a holding pattern until they know exactly where the cap is going to be set. It's hard to really do much of anything outside of cutting guys until you know where the cap will be set, which may be a lot later than it is in normal years.
Do you think that that's – I mean, obviously, guys go in the open market, they get paid, and in a lot of cases, they probably get maybe paid more, you know, than maybe their quote-unquote values at this point. But I look at J.J. Watt, and I think he's like a $7, $8 million a year player maybe, but I don't know. Am I way off here?
Well, he can still put pressure on the quarterback. One thing you got to remember in Houston, he had no help last year on that line. Whitney Merciless and rush the passer. So it's basically J.J. and nobody. So you can just load up on J.J., neutralize him, and nobody else is really doing anything. If he was the J.J. of old, one, they wouldn't have cut him. And two, he could have handled the double teams and that type of attention better. That's why I think for his career at this point in time, you look at who else is on that line. That's why, to me, Cleveland, they actually – are good now for a change. They've got cap space, and they got a guy that that's a load to deal with, Myles Garrett. So to me, that's more of a place to go. Even Buffalo, I think he's got to be the guy in Buffalo because they have Jerry Hughes. So I would rank Cleveland ahead of Buffalo, even though Buffalo went advanced to a different level in the playoffs than the Browns did.
Joel Corey, former NFL agent, now with CBS Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Joel, I want to stick with the pass rushing theme for a minute. What do you think the future looks like for Von Miller in Denver? Obviously, an injury this past season that you know, he never really got going, never really played this past season for the Broncos. What do you think that looks like for Von Miller, and do you think he's in Denver next year?
I call it a 50-50 proposition. He's in Denver. His last year that he played, 2019, was a down year by his standards. He had 8 sacks, and I think he had like 60 to 65 quarterback pressures. That's not Von Miller. And then he misses all of last year with an ankle injury. So if they're going to keep him, the option they have to exercise is worth $18 million. $7 million is guaranteed if they exercise it. I think they're kind of going to explore what makes sense on an extension, trying to get him redone to lower the cap hit, which is $22.125 million, and also a more appropriate salary for him at this stage in his career because he's also 31.
So, Joel, the Titans are in a tough spot here with Isaiah Wilson, the first-round pick out of Georgia, offensive tackle last year, who, of course, you know, made no impact on the team, is on the NFI list now. John Robinson kind of had some, you know, I would say some strong words, basically saying, like, it's on him, you know, to figure out if he wants to play and things like that. It doesn't sound like – I mean, he said they haven't talked, so it doesn't sound promising right now. Obviously – if you're the Titans at this point, you're taking a bath to some extent, you know, if you move on from Isaiah Wilson. But I know there are different outcomes here. Can you break that down for us, like what the Titans' recourse would be at this point, and I guess what would be the best case scenario for them if they were to decide to move on from Isaiah Wilson?
Well, one, teams don't like to admit they made a mistake with a first-round pick after 1 year. You usually give him a little more rope to hang himself or figure it out, so to speak. That may not have been the best analogy to use. But in most cases, when you are suspended, whether it's by the league or by the club, the language for your guarantees means that they're going to void because that's considered a default or a breach. So the one-game suspension that he served last season may have voided the guarantees, which would make it easier to get rid of him. Now, what you would probably do is bring him in to, if there's a somewhat of a regular offseason, traditional one, and then to camp, and if you see that he still is clueless, then you could cut him. If the guarantees have voided, then you don't have to pay him basically almost $5 million from 2021 to 2023, the remaining years of his contract, because that's no longer an obligation. It's now unsecured money. And if you wait till it's after June 1, which you'd cut him presumably after he comes to training camp, if it came to that, then you actually are picking up cap space because the bonus proration from 2022 and 2023 would not hit the cap immediately. So you would actually be taking his base salary off the cap of $1.13 million. That's what you pick up in cap room, and then next year you'd have almost $3 million in dead money from the signing bonus, the last 2 years of proration from the signing bonus. And I'd have to look at the actual contract, but in most contracts, if you get suspended, then the guarantee is void.
Wow, so a one-game suspension, is that pretty cut and dried, or is that something that would be, you know,
well, it depends
contested
on the actual language. The language sometimes is usually written that if you refuse to play, practice, or perform services, or if you're suspended by the club, sometimes it states conduct detrimental, sometimes it doesn't. Then it's like for any league policy, which would be personal conduct, substance abuse, or performance-enhancing drugs policy. So it all depends on the precise language. If the one-game suspension did void, if it was a conduct detrimental suspension and they didn't suspend the first time for the COVID-19 violations, and normally if you're going to go conduct detrimental, there has to be graduated punishment. So that may have been why they didn't do it the first time, because they were laying the foundation for a future suspension which would hold up for the guarantees, because they'd already seen that he was very immature. So I think I'd have to look at the actual length of the contract. There's a chance that those guarantees are gone.
Yeah, well, that was my next question. I can't help but think then that, you know, the one-game suspension was more than just to punish him at the time, right? I mean, potentially with the long-term possibility that this was just going to go badly in mind, right?
Well, he was having issues from basically the time he got there. He's at a party at Tennessee State when he's not supposed to be. So from day one, he hasn't been professional, so to speak. He's been one of the most unprofessional players I can recall in a long time, at least from the stuff which comes out publicly. And I don't care if you're 21, 22, 20 years old, you usually are a lot more professional than he's been.
Joel, last thing for you here. Obviously, you know, the Titans have a decision to make with Corey Davis coming up. And, you know, he's the fifth overall pick, had his best season this past year, 65 catches, almost 1,000 yards, 5 touchdowns on the season. What do you think Corey Davis's market value could look like if he hits free agency and is able to go and test the waters out there this year around the league?
He probably prices himself out of Nashville. You got three guys who are going to be commanding top dollar if they're free and not franchised: Chris Godwin, Allen Robinson, Kenny Golladay. For teams that don't want to go in that stratosphere, Will Fuller, Corey Davis, Juju Smith-Schuster may be guys that you look at. So as long as he's not thinking he should be paid like those guys, he has a chance to potentially get somewhere between, at most, number two money and where Cooper Kupp is, which is like $15 million. Number two money is anywhere from $10 to $12 million. So he's going to be a double-figure guy, I would think, and maybe the Ravens, because at least from a mentality standpoint, he fit. He's coming from a run-oriented system. They don't really throw the ball that much. It's basically a run-oriented system. So he could make that transition, and there wouldn't be the diva problems you have with some receivers when they're not getting the football.
Joel Corey, former NFL agent, now with CBS Sports, has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Joel, great stuff, man. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That very interesting stuff there from Joel Corey. Joel, what we'll do is we'll come back. We'll react to the Isaiah Wilson stuff that he threw out there. Also, Corey Davis as well. And take your reaction on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.